It's been a while, but I'm coming.
You're listening to Sparking Spiritual Growth. Welcome.
I never thought I would fall in love.
This is the podcast that builds a Christian faith through looking at lessons from the Bible and helping apply them in the real world. It's where the Bible intersects everyday life. In today's episode, we're going to talk about meekness. We're going to talk about it in a way that you may not have thought about before. Stay with me. Welcome back. I'm Jason Sparks. I'm so happy that you're part of this podcast, and I'm looking forward to talking about spiritual growth. So meekness is the idea today. Different translations have different words. They're usually the two words that are translated synonymously are meekness and gentleness. And we know there's a difference between the two, but they really are used synonymously in the translation. So in other words, one translation may translate it meekness, another translation may translate it gentleness. We're talking about that you can find in the fruit of the Spirit. So we're talking about meekness or gentleness, and we're really going to focus in on meekness today. And we're also going to look at another time, we're going to look at kindness, which is also very much related to gentleness, and we're going to talk about the differences and that kind of thing. When we think about meekness, though, it's usually going to be like discussed in a sense of, we're not talking about weakness, right? It's meek, not weak. And it's strength under control, you know, it's like a Lamborghini that's going the speed limit. I've heard of all kinds of ways of explaining it. And those are true, and it does take strength for us to be meek, because it really goes against the grain of a lot of things that we want to do. How we love to react in some cases is definitely not meekness, but meekness means that I'm going to react the way that God wants me to react in a given situation. But there's a lot more to it than that, because we tend to see meekness as something that we do that's passive, but I'm looking at it in the sense of something that's positive, that we can actually do something with, because it's not my intention to simply talk about, you know, ways that you can avoid something or not do something. That's really hard to talk about, right? Don't be arrogant. Well, it's really hard to not be something, but if we can show you how to be meek and look at it from a positive aspect, I think it'll help you see a little bit more clearly what that really means and how you can put it into practice. Meekness is an attitude or mindset which properly views self in light of our relationships with God and others and accept their activities for the greater good. Now, that's my definition of meekness, and it has a lot more in there about than simply saying it's not weakness. There are values that are inherent in meekness, and I know of at least five of them that are in this. One is going to be trusting God. You can't have meekness unless you're trusting God. We'll talk about why that's important. Then another one is honesty. We have to have a recognition of our own place in God's plan. We have to have a fair assessment of what reality is. That's what I mean by honesty. We also have to have transparency. We need to be able to present ourselves in accordance with the reality of God's plan. We need to have respect for God's sovereignty as well. That's part of being meek. And we need to have authenticity, which is very close to transparency. Authenticity is being true to what we were created to be. That is God's purpose for us. We're living in accordance with that. Now, I say that because the modern definition of authenticity, or the common definition of authenticity, is simply to be yourself. I don't believe that God wants us to simply be ourselves, because the whole point is that we grow beyond ourselves, that we're more, that we've been made more by Jesus, by his blood and the sacrifice and the redemption that we've had through him. But we still need a sense of authenticity. And so I see this as living myself, being truly what God created me to be. That's a lot different than being what I am, right? And so those are some values that are inherent in meekness, and I think they're very important for us to concentrate on. We could actually spend a podcast talking about each one of those. But I just now laid them out as groundwork for what we can talk about with the rest of it. So if you go back to the definition, I'm going to break it down into different parts. And the first part is, it says it's an attitude or mindset which properly views self in light of our relationships with God and others. So that what that means is we have an attitude or mindset in which we actually see, based upon our relationships with God, we see who we really are. We see our relationship with Him. We see ourselves in that in light of how He sees us, that we see ourselves in light of our relationship with Him, our standing with Him, all these things, how God sees us and how we see God, all these things are related to our mindset, our attitude, and how we see ourselves. And the same thing with others. How do we view ourselves in light of how we see other people or in light of how they see us? Those things have to be considered. And part of that means that we have to understand that we have roles to play in this life. My attitude toward God will help shape the role that I have with God. And I have a certain role with Him, toward Him. These are things that He expects of me. What does He expect of me? He expects me to be a faithful child of His. And that's my role in relationship to Him. So I have to be able to see myself within that role. And the same thing with other people. What role do we have with other people around us? Well, that varies depending on the circumstance, right? For example, with my wife, I have a certain role. With my children, I have a certain role, and that role has it changes and evolves as my children grew up. And now that they're not in the house, they're married. My role for them, I still have a role, but it has evolved into something different from when they first came into this world. And the same thing with my wife. My role is still the same with her, but it has evolved as both of our needs have changed. So I have to see myself in relationship to those roles that I have with those other people. The same thing with people that I at church, the same thing with people that I interact with in the community, you know, my job, my bosses, the people I answer to, all kinds of things are related to how we see ourselves in those given situations. And our mindset then is very important because we have to see ourselves clearly. That's why authenticity and transparency and honesty are so important in the idea of meekness. And then the last part of this phrase, so I have an attitude that looks at myself in the right way in relationship with God and with other people. And the last part of this is that mindset is accepting of their activities for the greater good. Now, that doesn't mean that their activities are actually for the greater goods, with the exception of God. His activities are always for the greater good. But I may interact with people who behave in a way that's not really for the greater good. That's not what I'm trying to say, is we don't have to accept all of those activities as if they are for the greater good. No, our acceptance of their activities, that's what is for the greater good. I accept the fact that some people are going to behave in certain ways, and I have a role, a relationship with them in which I have certain expectations upon me that I live within that role, and so I have to act accordingly for the greater good. That means that sometimes I have to allow people to do things that I don't like. Sometimes I even have to allow people to do things to me that I don't like. Now, I'm not talking about being a doormat, but this is the part, this last part is really what most people focus on when we talk about meekness. And we say, well, you know, it's not about being a doormat. You got to be able to stand up for yourself, but you still have to be meek, but meek isn't weak. And so we have a lot of confusion because we talk about meek not being weak, which is true, but sometimes we get confused because then we're like, okay, well, what does it mean then? If meekness doesn't mean that other people can do things to me that I don't like, is it really meek? In other words, we have to accept the fact that in our roles, whatever those roles are, there are times when for the greater good, we will accept even mistreatment. That's not a very popular idea. In fact, popular opinion today says that we must, if people mistreat us, we either fix that immediately or we get out of that relationship. We just dismiss them. If you treat me bad, I'm done. I don't have anything to do with you anymore. Well, that's all well and good, right? Except for the fact that Jesus never behaved that way. Now, yes, he wasn't a weakling, He did stand up for himself, but there were times when he was greatly mistreated for the greater good. You see, we got to figure out what that means, for the greater good. And there are principles that we can look at in the Bible about that. But I want you to understand that before we even talk about it. I want you to understand the concept that sometimes the role that we're in means that we accept some things that may be uncomfortable or maybe even harmful for us from time to time for the express purpose of doing that for the greater good. So we actually have a purpose in mind. Let's say you run upon a friend of yours who is having some problems. They've just lost a loved one or had a divorce. Something big happened in their life, and they really need to talk. And they put a burden on you, and they talk to you, and they you know, pester you. They call you often. You're the only one that's there. For the sake of that relationship that you have and that role that you have, for the sake of the greater good, you will put up with some of those things that they do. You might even put up sometimes with people who are you're talking to and they have explosive fits, maybe not directed at you, maybe they are. You might help people walk through problems, and it might be very difficult for you to go through those things with them. But you know that if you're a friend, then your attitude must be one that when you look at your friend, you look at the relationship that you have with your friend, and for the greater good, you're going to accept some of the things that he does. That's what I'm talking about. And that's meekness. So a son has a role in respect to his father. Meekness learns that we are to behave toward our parents in a certain way, especially when we're younger, right? And we have to recognize that parents may even get to the point where they might spank their children. They may do things that we might even look at that happened to us, and we might say, you know, I think that was kind of over the line. But we understand that there's some leeway there. In fact, we know that parents make mistakes, and children, because of the relationship they have with them, for the greater good, they will accept the things that happen to them. Now, I realize that that is a little bit, taken out of their hands. There's not a whole lot they can do about it, especially if they're young children. But that's a good example of what it means to have meekness. We accept the role, and we accept the activities around us for the greater good. So what is the positive aspect of this? What's the thing that we can actually do? And if you've been paying attention, you'll see that the word acceptance is one that has come up already several times. We need to learn how to accept from others, to take it in, to let it happen. And sometimes it's things that we might deserve to have happen to us, and sometimes it's not. But if we hope to salvage relationships and we hope to be good in the role that we're in, we need to have some kind of understanding and expectation that people are human beings and they're going to make mistakes, they're going to do things against us that we don't like, and we have to learn how to accept it. Later on, we can maybe fix it, yes. But at the time, we need to learn how to sometimes we just have to take it. In relationship to that and our roles, it goes a little bit further. Because I can be even more active. If I understand my relationship, for example, with my father, and I look at him and I see that he is someone who has authority to some degree, even though I'm a grown adult, there's some kind of relationship that's still there, and he has the right to expect certain things of his children. That's a biblical principle. And in fact, God holds us to the idea that we should take care of our own, and that includes sometimes when our elderly parents become more elderly, we might have to do things to take care of them. That can be great burdens to us, but because of our role, we accept that. Now, meekness, I believe, will go a little bit further. It's not that we just simply accept everything that happens. It's that we accept our role, and we live it. So that means that we learn what our role is, we learn what God expects of us in our role, and we try to fulfill it in the best way possible. So it's not just taking things that people do against us, although that is included in it. It's also us fulfilling those roles in the best way that we can. Every human being alive has multiple roles. We all have a lot of different hats that we wear. And we have to take opportunities within those roles to do what we should be doing. That's what meekness is. Well, how do you know what your role is in relationship to other people? Well, it's only going to come to you as you search it out. You have to think about what it means to be in the role that you're in. And there are a lot of times we really don't even consider, what is it I'm supposed to be doing here? But if we will consider what we're supposed to be doing, we can find a lot of opportunities to grow in this area. That growth will never stop until we stop pursuing it. We will always be able to find more areas and more ways in which we can grow in our relationships with each other, in the roles that we have for one another. And in general, we all know that God has certain roles already defined for us. For example, the husband has a role and so does the wife. And there are specific applications for us in that particular regard. But there are a lot of specific applications that are actually not given to us. We have a generality of how the family should work, but God has left to us to work out the specifications of how that works, how the relationships work. And so the couples then, the husband and wife, while there are some very specific things that they must do for each other, there are also a lot of generalities about how they're going to accomplish some of these things, and they have general principles to live by, right? So that's what the role is all about. For example, there is clear instruction in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5 for women to be taught how to be keepers of the home. But that, how is it exactly is that accomplished? I mean, surely the husband's going to have some responsibility in taking care of his house, especially if they're a, if they choose to be a two-income family. No one would say that that is necessarily wrong. Who among us are going to be really able to decide for every couple around us how to iron out those details? We can't do that. That's for each individual couple to decide. And what also we have to keep in mind is in any particular role where we have both limitations and we have abilities and opportunities. So the limitations might be that I just can't do some things that other people might be able to do, although I may have abilities that other people don't have. And so because of my talents, my skills, my opportunities, my strengths, all those things will help me define what my role is. So if, for example, looking at the relationship that I have with my children, there are some things that I was just never good at with my children. There are other areas that I was good at. There are things that I do that are that I can teach them. I know how to do. I wasn't very good at teaching my son how to work on our car. I'm not good at that kind of thing. My wife really wanted me to learn how to do woodworking so that I could teach my son and we can do it together, and I never did. I couldn't do those kinds of things, although, yes, I could have learned. But you understand my point. There are limitations to what I can do, what any of us can do. But there were things that I could do that I really enjoyed doing that I wanted to try to help my children learn how to do. And so it could be public speaking. It could be, you know, doing some artistic things, reading, that kind of stuff. And really, my wife was even better at that than I was with the reading part. But we tried to instill in them things that we were good at it. And my role related to them was certainly, it never changed, but the application of that role may have changed. And so that's what I'm talking about. We have to be, we need to look at who we are, understand ourselves for what we are in relationship to that role. And we can figure that out. Some of the ways we can figure that out is to look at the opportunities and the abilities that we have within that role. That's part of who we are supposed to be, right? So here are some ways to understand what you should be doing in a particular role. Here are some questions for you to ask, and there's six of them. First one is, are there any clear statements telling you to do certain things? I mean, we're talking about from the Bible. Does God clearly say that you should be doing such and such? If that's the case, that is your role in relationship to those people. The second one is, are there clear statements prohibiting you from doing certain things? So if that's the case, then God said, don't do this, then obviously you know that relates to your role in relationship to those people. Are there any statements that imply you should or should not do any certain things? So he may not have directly said it, but it implies that we should. And we should, when we read the Bible and it jumps out at us and says, oh, well, that means that I needed to do certain things, whatever that is. Another question, this is number four. What things are my strengths? These are things that I'm good at. Whether they're learned skills or you're born with ability to do them, whatever it is. If you have the ability to do them, then that should be an indication that, oh, well, maybe you should use those to try to improve in your relationship, try to fulfill your relationship with other people in the best way that you can. Number five, what opportunities do I have to use those strengths? So now you look at your role and you think, I have a strength in this. Where can I use this in my relationship? Let's say I had a strength for writing poetry. And I look at my wife and my relationship with her. Do you think that I could find any way that I could use my strength of poetry writing in my role with my wife? Yeah, pretty obviously, right? So I can write things to her. I can't do poetry, but if I could, that's something that I could do. Now, if I can't do poetry, does that mean that I should feel bad because I'm not fulfilling my role? So what opportunities do you have to use your strength? And the sixth one is, where can I offer service that no one else can or will? In other words, there are some things, obviously, that I do with my family, my wife, in my role with her and with my children, that other people are not involved in any way. They do not do the same things that I do. And for them, with me, the same things. That's the nature of the roles. And there are actually roles that you might have, say, with friends. There are things that you can do with your friends or for your friends that no one else can do. What are those things? That shows you and it indicates that maybe you need to think about what your role is in relationship to your abilities and use them in service to those people. Those are some ideas that will help you. So meekness is not just accepting and letting people do things to us, although that is a big part of it. We also have the other part of this. That is, we are really looking at ourselves and how we can use our abilities and our opportunities and our talents in our relationships and our roles with other people so that we improve in those roles. But it really comes down with the mindset that we're looking for this opportunity and we're doing our best to make sure that we are fulfilling our roles in the best way possible. Roles change over time and we need to make sure we adapt to them. But as we adapt to and we fulfill our roles, whatever those things are, we're humble enough to accept what reality is and live within that. It seems confining to think about, but it's actually very freeing. There's so much freedom and so much joy that comes from being able to serve other people in a given capacity based upon who we are and what God has called us to be in that situation. So I want to challenge you to think about these kinds of things in your relationships and think about what it is that your role is. What's your role? What's your function in your relationship? And how can you live it more? Please, I'd love to hear from you. If you have any insights to this, if you have anything that just popped out to you and said, hey, you know what? I think I need to do this. Let me know. I would love to hear from you. You can email me, jason@sparkingspiritualgrowth.org. And like I said, I'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website. You can make comments. You can share this podcast. That would be great too. I would love for you to be a participant in this. Thank you so much for being a part of it. In listening to this, and may God bless you. I'll see you next time.